Blog Talk Radio. Happy Saturday. It's the weekend edition of Culture Shark Entertainment Reports. My apologies for a late start. I would definitely tell you on Monday the whole 411 what happened. Because, you know, it's not like me to start tardy. But we have to go straight into the topics because we have little time. And my homie Rich Rusnick, who's based in Big D right now, is also would chime in and talk about sports. Yesterday, for some reason, you all only heard the fantastic music of my very long-time friend, Morris Mills. I know you all love that instrumental Round and Round. And Enrique, who would be special guest next Saturday, and also Indy Morrell, who you just heard song again, which is a blocktalkradio.com own. Her show, Dollhouse Radio, what I love, airs on Tuesdays and Saturday nights, and her show comes on tonight. It should usually comes on Tuesdays and Saturday nights. So that was her song, XO, and my longtime friend Morris Mills' song, Round and Round, also played this morning. And please check out Morris Mills' Facebook page and follow him on Twitter at MorrisMills2011. Morris Mills would like a gig at the Grammys next month, which is scheduled for February 12th. It's very important that visit his Facebook page, and he has an event up, Nominate Morris, the Morris Mills Experience. So there's a deadline for Tuesday to vote on Morris to be chosen to perform during the Grammy celebrations next month on February 12th. And you can vote up to 10 times. I've already cast my vote 10 times. And that was Morris that you've heard, that acoustic song, rendition of Little Red Corvette. That was Morris, and there's other songs that I would love to share with you all. But then also, you know, visit him on SoundCloud and check out his cloud and check out his music songs like Disarm, Jamie's Girl. I mean, Morris and I are really good friends. We haven't seen each other in person a long time, and I would love to see his live shows, but we really love each other's company. We love writing songs together and just everything. So, it'll be so neat if he could get that Grammy gig, but he need our votes, and you can vote up to 10 times. So check out Morris Mills, okay? Check out his Facebook page, and you'll see the event called Nominate the Morris Mills Experience to perform at the Grammys on February 12th. And, you know, if you visit my Facebook pages, you'll see it also, okay? And friend him and like him and follow him on Twitter and check him out on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation and so on. You can find him on Reverb Nation and check out his songs also. I mean, he's so multi-talented. So I just wanted I told him that I talk of him often anyway, and I will be sure to mention that he would love to play a gig at the Grammys. Who wouldn't love a gig at the Grammys, right? I mean, wow. Okay, because he's always hearing, you should be on TV, you should be here, you should be there. So those people that always approach Morris and tell him that, here's your chance to vote for him. And those of you that have never heard of him but do like what you hear or just by listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports, hey, vote for Morris Mills. Really. He's a native Texan living in Chicago right now, and he's just cool, dude. But we're going to today on schedule, we were going to talk about the South Carolina primaries, and mainly I was going to be pointing out the selling points of Rick Perry. But as you know, Rick Perry dropped out of the race the other day, and I still think Rick Perry is a fantastic guy. And like I said before and have always stressed, Rick Perry is one candidate who still has a day job, who's a working reelected governor of the state of Texas. And so he and his wife and his staff and first family, they're still working tirelessly though, to make the state of Texas happy. And also the rest of the world, because Texas is one of the largest states in the country. But we're going to go ahead, Ridge Roughneck, since you all couldn't hear me on Monday or us on Monday, but the music. But I'm glad you enjoyed the music. But we're going to talk sports today. This is a big weekend, conference titles weekend, and a little bit going on in the NBA, but we're definitely going to talk sports. And we're going to schedule a special show for tomorrow before the games begin where we're going to talk more sports also. So I want to go ahead and chime Ridge in also. And then also, you all remember I've been invited to participate as a panelist next month at the Gamma Psi chapter of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Corporation. Stop clowning around. What's going on with our ring leaders? Monday, February 13th at 7:13. You all know what 7:13 means if you know anything about the Deltas. But really, 7 o'clock in Holmes Hall Auditorium. I haven't been out publicly in this fashion in a long time, and I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to this event. Like I said, I'll be a Repub panelist, and my fellow Repub will be Nick Locke. I'll represent the Green Party will be Skip Kuhn. Tyson Jackson will be representing the Dems. Dr. Miranda Freeman, whom is a professor at Tougaloo College, and Dr. James Stewart, who's also a professor at Tougaloo College. We will answer questions from the moderator, the host, and the Tougaloo College senior who invited me, Christian Harris. And also, there's going to be a voters registration booth set up there. Prizes are going to be given away, and it should be a neat and nice and fun and peaceful event. Don't forget on Monday, Slow O representing San Francisco will be my guest on Monday, talking about his new music, Flatboard Music, which will be dropping on Tuesday, January the 24th. So I'm so excited because Slow O has been my fave since the summer of 07. You all might hear a little activity going on in the background. Since summer of 07, he's been like one of my favorite rappers, and he's been like number one on Reverb Nation in the San Francisco area for the past 4 years. So I'm super excited that he's going to, you know, chime in and talk about his new music that is dropping everywhere online on Tuesday, Flatboard Music. And I posted and tweeted some of his videos also last night, so you all should enjoy that. But he really would like for you all to know, to dig his music. Those of you that have been sleeping on him, you got to wake up, okay? Okay, so I'm getting ready to chime in with Rich Ruffneck. The live streaming is about to end in a few minutes, but we're going to continue talking the remaining 10 to 15 minutes. And plus, we'll have a special edition sports show like we did during the NBA Finals scheduled for tomorrow, where we're going to really go in depth about the NFC and AFC title championships. But it's time for me to chime Ridge Ruffneck and in. So I thank you so much for supporting Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports. Fastly approaching 36,000 views. So awesome, and thank you so much with the in dealing with the proper development process of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I want to shout out my friend ABS too. He and Sugar Shay Mosley and a lot of other cats are participating in the event in California. And wow, I wish I was there because it seemed like a really nice event. So much going on: health fairs, concerts, carnivals, and everything. Okay. And today is our inaugural parade scheduled today also. So I assume, permitting that the weather is okay, that the parade will still continue. I had planned to go if the weather was pretty, but the weather is being real wishy-washy, so I'm not going. And again, I send condolences out to my neighbors, the Browns, regarding the loss of my beloved neighbor, Mrs. Leola Brown. Family hour will be this evening, and her funeral will be tomorrow. So God bless and thank you so much. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Good morning. Can you hear me? Please say you hear me.
I can hear you.
All right. Okay,
good.
Well, Okay, live streaming is getting ready to stop of the regular 30 minutes, but we got 15 more minutes to continue talking. Tomorrow, we're going to have our special edition sports show also. We'll talk about both the AFC and NFC. So we got 10 to 15 more minutes. My apologies for the late start. You know I'm going to give you the 411 after the show, what happened, and I'll tell everybody else on Monday. What happened? You and I have the adventures of Bass and Roughneck. You know, the adventures. So what's up, everybody? You all just have a great conference title weekend. So we're going to continue talking, and those of you that are blessed to remain with us and listen, we really appreciate you. And remember, tomorrow the show probably will be scheduled at around noon, 12 or 1 before the game starts. So the first game starts at 3, and then the second game on CBS, and the second game starts at 6:30 Eastern Time on Fox. Okay, Reg, what's up? Thank you so much.
I
can just imagine what kind of night you probably have experienced. Sound like your night's been pretty peaceful.
It was peaceful. It definitely was. It was a little mild inebriation, but you know, other than that, it was quite peaceful. You know, the solitude of a bachelor sometimes, hey, it has its advantages, you know. But I definitely wanted to start the. But I wanted to start the show off by offering my condolences to a family of Sarah Burke.
I mentioned her yesterday, but no one could hear. So, yeah, thank you for kicking that off. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, that was truly a tragedy. I mean, you know, everybody doesn't get to live their dream and, you know, and have fun doing what they're doing as a passion and getting paid handsomely for it. And, you know, to tragically lose your life in a skiing accident and then having to be taken off life support. You know, once again, my condolences go out to her and her family at this tragic time of need and of loss. But
I mentioned her yesterday, but no one could hear the audio because we would have talked on that also. That is very sad at such a young age, too, age 29.
Exactly. So yeah, it was somber. I really had hoped that she had pull through, but unfortunately, it's not up to us.
Also, our condolences to the great legend Etta James family, supporters and those who loved her music.
Yeah, I was joking about one of my friends about, you know, we were talking about the little beef between her and Beyonce about singing at the inauguration, and I was like, okay, it got a little catty there for a moment, you know.
Sure did not.
Etta wanted so much to have sung her signature song to the president, you know, and everybody was just all caught up in the passion of, you know, first black president and everything, and Etta really felt slighted behind that, but, you know, since Beyonce played her on Cadillac Records, you know, I mean, I think that was truly, you know, for Beyonce's little small, slight acting career, that was a great. She played Etta James really, really great. I really gave Beyonce a lot of props for playing that part. But yeah, they like I said, it was, you know, two passings of two exceptional ladies in two different eras.
Mhm. Yes.
Now, let's get to the stuff.
What's up? This is big conference title weekend. So, you just want to, how you want to do this? You want to?
I was just going to start off by talking about the Ravens and, you know, this little flack that they've been getting over Flacco, no pun intended. I think that You know, I think that, you know, it's, everybody's hyped now. You know, Baltimore, you know, they have been kind of like slighted the past few years, but they have had the best defense. They have actually had one of the best defenses in the past decade. And the fact that these guys are still out there, still enduring, you know, you got your little triangle with Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. I mean, you can't miss. And that front line that the Ravens have is exceptional. I mean, these guys, they have a nice scheme that they've always employed. They use the D-line to kind of block for the linebackers. The linebackers are the ones that's making the tackles. And then all Ed Reed does is just sit back and read the pass formations, and he's always a ball hawk. So he's always running out there grabbing interceptions. You know, in today's NFL where they're practically having defenses playing with one arm tied behind their back because they're throwing so many flags for anything, you know, I really always applauded the Ravens defense for finding a way to rise above the situation. And that's, and they got a heck of a job in front of them having to deal with Brady and the Patriots. Because, I mean, that is definitely one of the most prolific offenses in the past decade. And, you know, Tom Brady really, he's point man. He makes it all happen. And the two tight end formation that they have is just definitely second to none. Probably one of the best two tight end formations with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. They, it's almost like you don't have to, you know, you got to worry about them, then you got to worry about the receivers afterwards. I mean, it's like, they got a nice little, it's an eclectic blend, you know, with Welker, Branch, and, you know, they really do a good job of spreading the ball out. But I just think it's going to be an interesting game. And I'm a little torn about picking who's going to win that game, but I'm kind of leaning toward the Ravens. I think it's going to probably be an upset.
Okay, so I'm understanding now what you mean that where it might be the Patriots and the Ravens. That's what you predicted when you and I were talking privately. You still think it might be the Patriots and the Ravens?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that the Ravens have a good chance of beating the Patriots tomorrow.
You said the Giants, right?
Well, yeah. As far as the NFC, yes. I was talking about the AFC Championship between the Ravens and the Patriots. They play tomorrow, but yes. But as far as the NFC Championship between the 49ers and the Giants, I think that.
Yeah.
That's a game that can go either way. That's going to be a game based on the momentum. Depending on how the 49ers come out in the first half, I think the first half is really going to dictate how this game plays out. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Because you made the 49ers. You saying something now. I have a lot of 49er fans listening. So you go ahead and say what you got to say about 49ers.
I was just going to simply say that the 49ers, their defense-wise, they have inherited the mentality of Mike Singletary, you know, their previous coach. He was a defensive coordinator, then he became their coach.
Uh-huh.
And Singletary.
Michael Singletary. I was just so surprised at what, you know, how the team, what happened with the team under his coaching. But I'm a big supporter of Michael Singletary, yeah.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact.
His coaching style is one reason why they're doing what they're doing now, I believe. But what were you saying?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I was just going to chime in on the fact that Singletary was the defensive coordinator of the Ravens when the Ravens won their Super Bowl back in 2000. And he was the point man. You know, to know that he mentored Ray Lewis during that time, it's a frightening thought. I mean, one of the greatest middle linebackers ever coaching, who is arguably one of the greatest linebackers currently, definitely the greatest middle linebacker, you know, it's just a hats off. But you can see the style of the 49ers because Patrick Willis has definitely inherited the style of both Ray Lewis and Mike Singletary, you know, with that intensity and that just constant after the ball carry. I mean, the 49ers are some, they just, I mean, they're just like a pack of wolves when you, when someone gets the ball, they're going in there. And then even like that hit on Pierre Thomas on the Saints last week. I mean, I was going for the Saints in that game, and I was.
A few of their guys are still feeling what the Saints put on them a few weeks ago. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they both, that was a physical game.
I don't know who practiced yesterday. We'll talk about that on tomorrow. But I know a few of them been missing practice because they still hurting from those Saints.
Right, because like, that hit on Pierre Thomas.
Jan and Goodwin, boy.
Yeah, that hit on Pierre Thomas at the goal line that Whitner put on him. I mean, I was kind of at first ticked off at Thomas for fumbling the football, but considering the fact that he was semi-conscious on that hit, I can kind of understand because he got knocked flat, limp. I mean, he was limp. He was knocked senseless. The ball just fell out due to the fact that Pierre's faculties was not 100% at that point. I mean, those were some numbing hits those guys, both teams were putting on each other. It was, as John Madden liked to say, a real slobber knocker in the trenches. Those guys was really doing it. That was one of the best games I ever seen last week with the Saints and the 49ers. And, you know, hats off to both teams. It was sad that someone had to lose. But considering how the Saints came back, they were only 10 seconds away from winning that game in spite of everything. That was a classic game. I really loved it.
Mm.
As for the game with them and the Giants.
Congrats to the Who Dat Nation. You all had a great season. Had a great, great season.
Hey, I knew you was going to get that one in there.
I said, I'm a guy. Cowboys, too, keep your head up like Tupac say.
Yeah, well, right, keeping now, their head up is one thing, but where their heads wind up being the rest of the time, that's my problem. But I'm gonna keep that one on the low. I'm gonna get the FCC in on this one.
Exactly. So, you know,
Beth.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say that. The Giants is the wild card in this one. They are the most they are a very dangerous team because they are a team they seem to play better on the road than they do at home.
That's why I was mentioning. I think you predicted the Giants and the Ravens. Do you still stick to that prediction?
I'm talking about going to the big game. Like I said, as much as I would like to say it'd be the 49ers and the Ravens, because, you know, everybody wants the Harbaugh brothers to get one more crack at it. I mean, it'll be a nice, that would be sentimental. Sentimentally, it'll be nice. But if the Giants go in there and attack like they attacked the Packers, the Giants could very, very easily be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. So,
plus
yes,
the Ravens. So that's your Super Bowl prediction, the Ravens and the Giants.
Ravens and the Giants. I'm going to have
to. Okay, guess what my prediction is?
The opposite.
Yeah, y'all. I'm sharing. Yeah, y'all hear my Southern, don't you? My Southern accent. Yeah, y'all. Yeah, my prediction. Yes, I am going to make my prediction. My prediction is San Francisco and the Patriots.
Okay, well, that's nice contrast. I like that.
So we're both, that's my prediction. But you know what? I know what you're saying. Those Giants, they always tend to pull something out.
The Giants seem to play better when they know it's win or lose. When it's win or go home. The Giants really. They're focused. they always find a way to win. Those guys, I mean, I got to give them their respect. I know they my beloved Cowboys' chief rival, but I have to give them their respect that the Giants always seem to come together.
We have 40 seconds. NFL.com said, well, since y'all favorites, the Packers and the Saints, are out, has been eliminated, which team is favored to win the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 46? Patriots, Niners, Ravens, or Giants? What's your prediction? We got 28 seconds. Tomorrow we're going to air a special edition, sports edition, where we're talking strictly sports. Yeah, we're talking about breaking news, but we're talking about the game. So what's your prediction?
I'm going to say Ravens.
And I love me some Ray Lewis now and the Ravens. I love all four of these teams. Yeah, y'all, I like other teams other than the Saints and the Cowboys.
Like, right.
My pick is the Niners. Roughneck's pick, the Ravens.
I'm picking the Ravens.
Okay, so it's time for us to stop airing. So we're going to we welcome you all to join us tomorrow when we talk about the NFC and AFC championship.